The purpose for studying Kabbalah. The light which comes out of the writings of the great Kabbalists will help us in our struggle against our stubbornness. This same light will help us to struggle against our tendency to forget the suffering caused by our willfulness. All correction is brought forth by prayer, which the Creator sees in the heart. True prayer and the response to it, i.e. the relief that comes only on the condition that one has engaged one's utmost effort, giving oneself entirely over to this effort, both quantitatively and, most importantly, qualitatively. Prayer is achieved by learning Kabbalah correctly. The required remedy for personal redemption, the essence of how to eradicate one's own ego, is Kabbalah. A person's yearning for relief must be such that during his learning, he's not diverted for even a moment from the idea and the urge to find in Kabbalah, amidst its letters, the search for himself. Therefore, if a person has not yet been cornered by suffering, like a frightened beast in its cage, if he still has some yearning for pleasure left in the innermost corners of his heart, he will not recognize that egoism is his sole enemy. He will not be able to reach through his anguish and to make a full-fledged effort to find in the Kabbalah the strength and the way to escape the confinement of his own egoism. He will not be able to attain freedom. Although in the beginning of his studies a person may be filled with determination to learn Kabbalah for this sole purpose, the inspiration may inadvertently escape him during the course of his studies. As mentioned before, our desires determine our thoughts, and our mental faculty acts as a supporting instrument. The mind merely seeks means to fulfill the will and the desire of our heart. The difference between studying the Kabbalah and other systems is that studying Kabbalah is the only way to find the strength that helps us liberate ourselves from the chains of egoism. While studying Kabbalah, one engages in a first-hand examination of the description of the Creator's acts, of the Creator's, so to speak, characteristics, of one's own characteristics and their disparity from the spiritual ones, of the Creator's goal in the creation, and of the way to correct one's ego. The light of the Kabbalah, that spiritual force which helps a person defeat egoism, may be perceived only from the study of the Kabbalah. The other elements are conducive to drawing an individual against one's will into a discourse on material actions and legalistic matters. Those who study Kabbalah merely for expanding their knowledge can approach it only as a direct narrative. They will not be able to extract the light of the Kabbalah. Only those who engage in the study of Kabbalah for self-improvement will benefit. Kabbalah is a study of the system of our spiritual roots that emanated from above. This method of study is in accordance with strict laws which merge and point towards a single supreme purpose, the revelation of the Creator's greatness, and that His greatness be comprehended by the creations in this world. The Kabbalah, that is, the perception of the Creator, consists of two parts: the written work of the Kabbalists, i.e. those who have already perceived the Creator, and the body of knowledge which is perceived only by those who have just acquired the spiritual vessels and the altruistic yearnings into which they can receive spiritual sensations or the perceptions of the Creator. If after reaching a spiritual elevation a person sinks to impure desires, then the good desires which he had during his spiritual elevation will become joined with the impure desires. The accumulation of impure desires gradually decreases and continues until the person is able to remain permanently in the elevated state of solely pure desires. Once an individual has completed his work and revealed to himself all his desires, that person receives a light from above so immense that it forever brings him out of the shell of our world. He becomes a permanent dweller of the spiritual worlds, a fact of which those around the person are not even aware. The right line denotes a condition in which the Creator is always correct in the eyes of a person. A person justifies the Creator's supervision in everything. That state is called faith. From the earliest attempts at spiritual development and elevation, one ought to try to act as though one had already attained complete faith in the Creator. One ought to imagine that one can already feel with all one's essence that the Creator rules the world with utmost benevolence, and that the whole world receives only goodness from him. After examining his own situation, an individual may see that he still may be deprived of all that he desires. Looking around, he may see the entire world suffering, each person in his own way. Despite this, He must tell himself that what he is seeing is a distorted image of the world, seen through the magnifying glass of his own egoism. Then the true picture of the world will be revealed to him only when he reaches a state of complete altruism. Only then will he see that the Creator rules over the world with a purpose of leading his creations to perfect enjoyment. In such a state, when a person's faith in the Creator's absolute goodness prevails over what he sees and feels, this is called faith above reason.
Thank you.